أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين Okay, tonight we are to talk about the goodies of this world, the angels, the good creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who are mentioned here in Nahjul Balagha and also mentioned in Sahifa Sajjadiyya, and there are lots of references to them in the Quran. Some people who are somehow limited in their outlook only to the material world, some believers I mean, they have tried to somehow explain away the existence of these supernatural creatures which are not belonging to the world of matter, and therefore, for example, they have explained jinn and shaitan in a way which would go only with the material world. They have explained angels in a way which would fit into the boundaries of this world of matter. However, I don't know why they do this, because to think that all the creation of God should be confined to the world of matter is something which is not reasonable. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself is exalted and aloof from this world of matter, there should be other beings which he has created which are not like us, not having material existence. And we find in ourselves many aspects which are not material, which are supernatural in the sense of this nature of matter. And many of our feelings, many of our concepts, ideas, and of course human soul is something which is, although attached to this world of matter, it could be separated from it, and it could go to the world beyond the world of matter. Therefore, to explain away the existence of angels in a way that would fit into the material world only, to what we can see and what we can sense and what we can experience, I think is something which is not rational at all. And this is somehow the influence of the positivism of the 19th century, which has influenced the mind of some Muslims as well, who try to explain these things in this way. And I think this is something now we have passed, it's gone by. The positivism, which was very strongly supported by intellectuals in the 19th century, has of course lost its appeal to minds of many people, especially scientists, theoreticians and others. Now, we spoke a little bit about the angels last week, and what Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam mentioned about them was that Allah actually opened up the skies, the other dimensions of this universe, and he filled that place with his angels. And these angels were atwaran, they were of different types. أطواراً من ملائكته. He filled them with different types of his angels. And then, of course, some of them always in prostration, they do not stand to bow down. Some of them always bowing, they do not stand up upright. Some of them come together and they all the time praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And now some qualities of these angels are mentioned here. لا يخشاهم نوم العيون. They are not covered by the sleep of the eyes. It means that they never sleep. Now, since we are physical creatures, some aspect of our existence is material and physical, it is difficult for us to think of creatures who never sleep. Well, if you never sleep, you get bored, isn't it? And you get tired as well. But of course this sense of feeling tired when you do not sleep is because we have bodies. Our souls never need sleep because we don't have this type of regaining energy need anymore if if we are only soul, not body. And the angels are like this. They never sleep. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is like this. La ta'khuduhu sanatun wa la nawm. No nap or no sleep would ever come to him. And the angels are like that, as Amirul Mu'minin explains it here. La yakhshahum nawmul uyun. وَلَا سَحْوُ الْأُقُولِ, and not the mistake of the intellect. Because our intellect, our reason, usually make mistakes. Because to find out, we need to think. And to think, we need some sort of material means, which is the brain. We need the brain to think. However, for those who do not need any brain to understand things, then they don't make any mistake, because mistake comes when you think. And when you think, you make wrong calculations. And when you make wrong calculations, you certainly make mistakes. However, when angels know something, then of course they know it without thinking. It's just a knowledge thrown at them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so to speak. And this is why their knowledge is fixed. Apparently their knowledge is fixed. Because in the Quran as well, it is said that Subhanaka, they say, when Allah tells them, tell me about the names of these things, they say Subhanaka la ilma lana illa ma 'allamtana. We have no knowledge but what you have taught us. In a way, they are saying that even we cannot think, because thinking is a process which might of course bring some extra knowledge. And I think this is a quality of human beings. Human beings have no fixed knowledge. Their knowledge can increase in an unlimited way. And that's why this process of thinking is there for human beings. And if in Jannah, inshallah, we have brains, it means that still we can increase in our knowledge. But the only difference is that there we wouldn't make any mistakes. And here we make lots of mistakes by thinking. However, for angels, they are not going to make any mistakes. لا يخشاهم نوم العيون ولا سحو العقول ولا فترة الأبدان, and not the tiredness of the bodies, of course, because they have no bodies. So they praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they exalt him then day and night, and they never get tired, because they have no bodies to tire them, they have no sleep to put them off the duty that they are having, وَلَا غَفْلَةٌ نِسْيَانٌ, and of course no ignorance of forgetting would come to them, because again they don't realize through brain. It's brain which brings all these things. Now, of course, they are delegated different tasks in this world of creation. And now the Imam alayhi salam is mentioning some tasks which are delegated to some angels. مِنْهُمْ أُمَنَاءُ عَلَىٰ وَحْيِهِ وَأَلْسِنَةٌ إِلَىٰ رُسُلِهِ. Some of them are trusted with the revelation which Allah wants to reveal to a person, to a human being. And they are tongues of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to his messengers. It means when Allah wants to speak, he speaks to an angel. Because of course, you know, whatever Allah wants to do, he creates it. He is more exalted than actually communicating with anyone without a means of which he creates. So these angels are trusted with his revelation, and they are tongues to his messengers. Why he says that they are trusted with his revelation? Are there angels there who would not be trusted by his revelation, for his revelation? Yes, trusted in the way that not they are going to tell lies or whatever, because they don't have the capacity to convey this message. So they are not trusted for that type of job. These angels which bring the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the messengers, they should have high capacity to receive it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Well, how an angel receives a revelation from Allah, we don't know. That's something. We don't know how a human being receives it, let alone how an angel receives it. But angels also receive it through a type of revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When God wants to speak to a human being, He speaks through angels. Okay? Now, how He speaks with angels? إِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ When your Lord told to the angels, how did He tell? How did He speak to him, to them? We don't know. However, it's again another type of revelation. The angels, even the angels, when they want to receive a message from God, it's not that they stand before God and God speaks to them. They receive their type of revelation. إِذْ يُوحِي رَبُّكَ إِلَى الْمَلَائِكَةِ When your Lord reveals things through wahy to the angels. So, still they have their own type of revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, these angels which receive revelation, which is a message from God to human beings, to the messengers, they have the highest status in the rank of the angels, because they are trusted with this message of Allah, taking it from here to there. Can a human being receive revelation without medium of the angels? Yes, of course they could, if Allah wants it. But this is very difficult for a human being. Not all prophets can do this. Not all prophets have the capacity to receive direct revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, something revealed into their hearts directly without medium of angels. Because when it comes to angels, the whole level of communication comes one degree below that the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that would be much easier for prophets to receive it. Now, in case of our prophet, he received revelation in many different ways. He received, first of all, revelation through the angel Jibreel, Gabriel. And that was also in two forms. Usually, the easiest way that he received revelation was when the angel came down, descended, relegated to this world, and somehow found a shape which was suitable to communicate in a material form to the Prophet. And that is why Prophet usually saw Jibreel in form of a human being coming to him, speaking to him. This was the easiest way for the Prophet, and probably most favorable to him, because it didn't have any type of effect on his bodily constitution. He didn't get tired of it or something like that. The other type was when Prophet ascended to the level of Jibreel and actually saw Jibreel in his original form, and Jibreel talked to him when he was actually in the world of the angels. In fact, usually the angel Jibreel came to the world of human beings and spoke to the Prophet. Now, sometimes Prophet ascended to world of the angels, and when he ascended to world of the angels, then angel Jibreel spoke to him. And this happened for our Prophet only to us, because it was very, very difficult for Prophet to do this. It actually took lots of energy out of him. In Surah Najm, there is mention of two occasions in which Prophet ascended to the world of Jibreel and saw Jibreel in his original form. And Jibreel talked to him, وَلَقَدْ رَآهُ نَزْلَةً أُخْرَىٰ And he saw Jibreel a second time in his original form, عِنْدَ سِدْرَةِ الْمُنْتَهَىٰ عِنْدَهَا جَنَّةُ الْمَعْوَىٰ To the vicinity of the boundaries of this world and the world of Arsh, he saw Jibreel in his original form when he went to Mi'raj, and once at the beginning of revelation. And sometimes, of course, revelation came directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to his heart without medium of angel Jibreel. And why was this? Maybe this is when Jibreel could not carry the message. It was much higher than the level of Jibreel to carry this message to the heart of the Prophet, and the message came directly to his heart. And this is when the Prophet said, this is the most difficult, exhausting type of revelation, and usually when this type of revelation came to the Prophet, he fainted afterwards, and he couldn't hold himself, and people completely could see in his face the pain and the type of exhaustion which came due to this revelation. But Allah has made this easy for the prophets through his angels, and usually the message comes from the angels to the prophet. However, these angels have a very high station with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because they can carry that message, that communication to human beings. So some of these angels are minhum umana'u ala wahyih, trusted with his revelation, wa alsinatun ila rusulih, and tongues of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to his messengers. Beautiful. I mean, for those who know Arabic, the type of statements, the type of expressions and sentences are beautiful. Really, you cannot just get bewildered by the way Amirul Mumin has put all these concepts into this very, very easy type of language. وَمُخْتَلِفُونَ بِقَضَائِهِ وَأَمْرِهِ, and some of them bring his decrees and his orders. Or this is probably just joined to the previous sentence, and they bring his decrees and orders to the prophets. So these are one type. وَمِنْهُمُ الْحَفَظَةُ لِعِبَادِهِ, some of them are guards over his creatures. You know, when you are born, of course you do not know the extent of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for yourself. If he doesn't love us, he wouldn't create us. And when you are created, many, many angels are created for you, just to attend to you, just to look after you, to protect you from many different things which are going. And the angels, you see, when there is an angel which has a specific duty, that angel always wants to somehow perform that duty, and he does it if there is no objection. Now, it's just like the natural laws of the nature. When there is gravity, it wants to attract everything towards it. So if you go out on a tall building and you want to fly, it just attracts you and kills you. You cannot say that, look, just wait a second, don't do it, I want to try to see whether I can fly or not. No, it does it. Unless you have protection, unless you have wings, or unless you have improvised some sort of means like aeroplanes, that would, you use another force of nature, another means in nature against this gravity, isn't it? We always use forces of nature against each other. How you put off, for example, the heat in summer, you put it off by using other materials which exist in this nature to somehow cool down the environment, isn't it? Or vice versa, you warm out the environment in winter by fire, which is another force of this nature. Fire, if you go towards it, it will burn you. I mean, you don't say, look, there is something there, I want to take it, please don't burn me for a minute, I take it, and then you continue. No, it burns you as soon as you go to it. Okay. Now, these angels work in the same way. The angel of death is always upon your head. It wants to take your life. That's as easy as that. And the death is quite close to you. The incidents, the accidents happening in this world, the vile and vicious forces which are around you, they all want to harm you. And this is what they always want to do. However, there are some guards, which are some angels. They are with you, they protect you. Until Allah would tell them, now leave this person to Malakul Maut. And as soon as they leave you, Malakul Maut would take your life. And this is how it works. It's as is mentioned in Surah Nazaat, وَمِنَ نَازَعَاتِ نَزْعًا, until it comes to وَالسَّابِقَاتِ سَبْقًا, those who proceed for doing their duties, other angels, فَالْمُدَبِّرَاتِ أَمْرًا, in this way everything is organized in this world, everything is managed by the angels. Now, these حَفَظَةً, as is mentioned in the Quran, وَيُرْسِلُ عَلَيْكُمْ حَفَظَةً, Allah sends guards for you, to protect you from death, from other calamities. Hatta idha ja'a ahadakumul maut, until the time of death comes. And the order is issued to the guards, now go away. And as soon as they go away, tawaffathu rusuluna, our other messengers, these are our messengers to protect you, to guard you. But as soon as they go away, as soon as their duty is finished, other angels which are surrounding you to take your life, to take the soul, and that's like a gravity. It's all, they always want to take you to the other world. There is a gravity towards other world. And these guards are just holding you. It's just something which defies the force of that gravity. And as soon as the order has come, حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءَ أَحَدَكُمُ الْمَوْتِ تَوَفَّتْهُ رُسُلُنَا, our messengers will take you. وَهُمْ لَا يُفَرِّطُونَ, immediately. There is no delay in this. Immediately, as soon as the guards are taken away, they will take your life. And these are وَالْحَفَظَةُ لِعِبَادِهِ, those guards are always protecting us. And, well, how kind these hafaza are with us, we don't know. But they are created in a way that they would love to protect human beings. وَالسَّدَنَةُ لِأَبْوَابِ جَنَانِهِ. Now, there are others, other angels, which are actually on the doors, guard on the doors of the garden, of the Jannah, which would actually let people in and let the vicious creatures not in, do not let the vicious creatures to go in. These are another type of the angels. وَمِنْهُمْ, now these were the types which were doing different things, many different, the duties. The classification was here in terms of duties. Now in terms of the type of creation, then Amir al-Mu'min is mentioning. Now this type of literature couldn't come from someone who hadn't seen these things. It is something which comes from knowledge, and knowledge of a person which is as though he is visualizing all these different types of angels and different types of classification of these creatures. وَمِنْهُمُ الثَّابِتَةُ فِي الْأَرَضِينَ السُّفْلَى أَقْدَامُهُمْ وَالْمَارِقَةُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ الْعُلْيَى أَعْنَاقُهُمْ وَالْخَارِجَةُ مِنَ الْأَقْطَارِ أَرْكَانُهُمْ وَالْمُنَاسِبَةُ لِقَوَائِمِ الْعَرْشِ أَكْتَافُهُمْ. Which is beautiful literature. Now here it says, and some of these are like this. Just imagine. I mean, it is good to just imagine. Some of them are the ones whose feet are in the lower parts of the earth, and their necks are just breaking through the highest heaven, highest the sky. It means that they are completely in charge everywhere. They are so huge creatures that they can do anything, anywhere, on the earth, in this material world, in the other world, in all the skies. وَالْخَارِجَةُ مِنَ الْأَقْطَارِ أَرْكَانُهُمْ, and their limbs by which they do things. Of course, this is just simulating them to the human body. However, of course, we should know that this is a metaphor. Are going out of the boundaries of this creation. وَالْمُنَاسِبَةُ لِقَوَائِمِ الْعَرْشَ أَكْتَافُهُمْ, and of course, since they are carrying the throne of God on their shoulders are quite suitable for carrying that throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, we know what's the throne of Allah. The throne of Allah is the center of decision and decrees in this world. That's, for example, when we say a king is deciding, we say that the decree has come from the throne. This was very, of course, usual, very common type of literature, especially in old times. When we talk about the throne of Allah, Arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course you shouldn't think that there's a throne on which Allah is sitting and is ordering. No. The throne is a metaphor used to tell us about, of course, it's a pure metaphor, but it has other dimensions in other worlds. But it wants to tell us that this is the center from which Allah issues His orders, and everything is organized from there. So that is the mind of this whole creation, and this is being somehow implemented, applied. The decrees are being conveyed and transferred into action and into reality by some angels, and these are the ones that we call Hamalatul Arsh, those who carry the throne. Those who carry the throne are these angels which do things here, which of course on the day when the day of judgment come, when the resurrection day come, these would change place with some human beings, because then these human beings would be higher than these angels, as is mentioned in the Quran, وَيَحْمِلُ عَرْشَ رَبِّكَ فَوْقَهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ ثَمَانِيَةٌ. On that day, 8 people would carry the throne of your Lord, and everything would come from them, because now the angels are doing it because they are quite capable of doing it. When resurrection comes, everything would evolve. The whole world would go into a deeper level and aspect of it. And then these angels cannot carry the throne anymore. They are now suitable to do it. But when we go to the day of resurrection, they are not suitable anymore to do that. They are not fit for that job anymore. Then there are some human beings who have surpassed the level of these angels, which will be given the task of carrying the throne. But now, of course, their shoulders are quite suitable, quite powerful for doing it, and they can do whatever is told to them to do. Now, of course, you can imagine the type of creature that these beings are. So huge, their feet on the earth, their necks are just piercing through the seventh sky, their limbs out of the boundaries of the creation, and their shoulders can carry the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a metaphorical way. However, if you look at these creatures, if you look into their hearts, so to speak, of course they don't have heart as we have, but if in our language, if you look at into their hearts, ناكستن دونه أبصارهم, they never look up to see the glory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because they never dare to do it. They are so terrified by the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the khawf which is there in that vicinity. They never ever, their eyes are always cast down. Again, this is a metaphor. They never dare to look up to see that glory and that light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, although they are very close. مُتَلَفَّعُونَ تَحْتَهُ بِأَجْنَحَتِهِمْ. They have spread their wings out of humbleness below the throne. Of course, the wings of angels are a metaphor, a metaphorical type of language. It's an imagery used for their powers. The more wings they have, the more powerful they are, as we have in Surah Furqan, جَاعِلُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ رُسُلًا أُولِي أَجْنِحَةٍ. Surah Fatiha, sorry. جَاعِلُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ رُسُلًا. He makes the angels his messengers. Uli ajnahatan, they have different types of wings and different numbers. Matna wa thulatha wa ruba. Some of them have 2 wings, some of them have 3 wings, some of them have 4 wings. And it is actually in our language wanting to tell us that how enormous their power would be, how quick they can bring these messages to the messengers. So they are spreading out of humbleness their wings below the throne. مَغْرُوبَةً بَيْنَهُمْ وَبَيْنَ مَنْ دُونَهُمْ حُجُبُ الْعِزَّةِ. Of course, these angels who are carrying the throne are so huge, are so exalted in their existence, that the angels who are below them, they cannot look at their glory. So between them and those angels who are below them, there are veils of dignity and glory. The angels below them can never look at them. Now, let alone looking at Allah's glory, that's a different issue. They never can look at the glory of these angels who are carrying the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, مَغْرُوبَةً دُونَهُمْ بَيْنَهُمْ وَبَيْنَ مَنْ دُونَهُمْ خُجُبُ الْإِذَّةِ وَأَسْتَارُ الْقُدْرَةِ. And also the curtains of power. They are so powerful that no one dares actually to get near them. However, لا يتوهمون ربهم بالتصوير. They never ever try to make a picture of their Lord in their minds. And this wants to tell us that the more, the closer to get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more knowledgeable you become, the more exalted Allah would become in your heart and in your mind. And these angels, they never do such things that human beings do it. And they picture Allah in the form of human beings, animals, plants, and all these issues. Well, it seems that we are at this level that we are very silly creatures. And really, the angels are laughing at us, the way we are living on this earth, and the way we are organizing our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the way we imagine Him. So they never imagine a picture of their Lord in their minds, so to speak. Because they know that God is much, much exalted than to be known by them. They only believe in Him and have that type of knowledge which brings fear into their hearts. وَلَا يُجْرُونَ عَلَيْهِ صَفَاتَ الْمَصْنُؤِينَ. They never attach to Him the attributes of His creatures. وَلَا يَحُدُّونَهُ بِالْأَمَاكِنِ. They never say that Allah is somewhere. They wouldn't limit Him to places. وَلَا يُشِيرُونَ إِلَيْهِ بِالنَّذَارِ. And they would never make examples of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, saying that Allah is like that, Allah is like this, because they are so knowledgeable of Him, they would never do this. Okay, this was an explanation of the world of the angels, given in Nahjul Balagha. And of course, as I said, this comes out of a heart and a mind which would tell us that it is very much knowledgeable about that world, and very much familiar to that world of angels. Inshallah, we will become familiar as well. As soon as we die, the first creatures we are going to see are the angels. And, either good or bad. I mean, if we are good, we see good angels. If we are bad, we see, again, good angels which are bad to us. We don't have bad angels. All the angels are good. But some of them have duty to somehow carry out punishment. Some of them have duty to carry out rewarding and giving awards to human beings. Now, there is a more detailed explanation of what is mentioned here in Nahjul Balagha in Sahih al-Sajjadiyya. And this is when Imam alayhi salam is praying for the angels. This is very, very interesting, isn't it? Usually the angels should pray for us, but now Imam is praying for the angels and actually greeting them and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to greet them. That means they need it. They also need it. They need these greetings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the third supplication of Sahih al-Sajjadiyya. In the second supplication, he greets and prays for the soul of the Prophet. Greets the soul of the Prophet, greets the Prophet and his household, and prays for the soul of the Prophet. Then in the third, he continues like this: Allahumma wa hamalatu arshak. God, and greet those who carry your throne, these very huge creatures which Allah has. Alladhina la yafturuna min tasbihak, those who never stop out of tiredness of glorifying you. Wala yas'amuna min taqdisak, and never get bored of exalting you, of making you holy in their holy in a way that you are above everything. They can never ever think of a picture of you. وَلَا يَسْتَحْسِرُونَ مِنْ عَبَادَتِكَ, and they never get tired of worshipping. وَإِسْرَافِيلُ. Now he names these angels. Now, of course, every angel has a name. Of course, who would call them with these names? Well, they have names anyhow, but who would call them with these names? Probably Jibreel, when he wants to order the angels, he will mention them out, that this should be done by this and this and this, X and Y and Z angels, and they will do it. However, we have four angels who carry the throne, and he mentions them one by one by name. Well, the first one, the most important one, Israfil. Well, this is the most formidable angel in the world who would make everyone dead, every soul. Of course, what Malakul Maut does, he takes our souls from this world to the other world. He doesn't make us dead. We never die, okay, in this. And by this transfer, our bodies become without senses, of course, and then it goes rotten. But we don't die. Just the soul goes from this world to another world, from this dimension to another dimension. So the maut, which we mean here as death, it is just a transfer. However, there is a death for every soul on the Day of Judgment. And this is what the Israfil is going to do. He does it with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Mumit, who makes everyone die. He is actually the manifestation. Actually, these angels are manifestations of names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the manifestation of that name, Mumit, who makes people's souls die. When he actually starts his work, when he starts to somehow make every soul dead, every soul, including all angels, will die. And this is, of course, the most formidable angel in this world, from whom every other angel is scared. Wa Israfil, Sahib al-Sur, the one who has that horn in which he blows. Of course, there is lots of different explanations about this this metaphor which is used here. We are not going into details about it. But what he says here is Ash-Shakhs, the one whose eyes never blink, just looking for your order. The day you want to make everyone die, he's just looking for your order to be issued. And that is when he takes all the souls. Every soul will die. الَّذِي يَنْتَذِرُ مِنْكَ الْإِرْمِ, the one who's just waiting for your permission to issue. Of course, he's not only Mumit, he's Muhi as well. He makes people alive later, the souls to come back to life again. And that's the manifestation of the name Muhi, the one who gives life. So he's just waiting for your permission. وَحُلُولَ الْعَامِ is just waiting for the time for that great affair to come, that every soul should die. فَيُنَبِّهُ بِالنَّفْخَةِ سَرْعَى رَحَائِنَ الْقُبُورِ, and then when that day come, he would make alive again every soul and bring them back to life. وَمِكَائِيلَ, and then, of course, the other member of the Arsh, or of the carriers of Arsh. Zuljah Endak, the one who is very much dignified and has a high station, because this is the manifestation of the name Razzaq. This is how, through the angels, through whom all the sustenance of creatures come. And that's why he's Zuljah. والمكان الرفيع من طاعتك, and out of his obedience to you, he has found a very high place in your eyes. وجبريل, and of course then جبريل, الأمين على وحيك, the one who is trusted with your revelation. والمطاع في أهل سماواتك, and the one who is the boss up there, of course, everyone would carry on with his orders. It's mentioned in the Quran as well, مُطَاءٍ ثَمَّ أَمِينٍ, he is obeyed by everyone in the heavens. So he is the one who actually conveys the orders of Allah to all other angels. The orders of Allah don't come directly to all angels, because they are much below that level. It comes through Jibreel and then through other superior angels. It comes down, يَتَنَزَّلُ الْأَمْرَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ, His order, his command comes gradually from the very high, close place to the throne, from the heavens. It comes gradually to the earth through different ranks of angels. So, وَمِكَائِلْ ذُلْجَاهِ وَجِبْرِيلْ أَلْأَمِينُ عَلَى وَحْيِكْ أَلْمُطَاعُ فِي أَهْلِ السَّمَوَاتِكْ أَلْمُقَرَّبُ عِنْدَكْ, the one who is very close to you, of course. There's a very interesting thing. I said Jibreel is, of course, the one who teaches the prophets. They say the prophets are actually manifestations of Jibreel on the earth. And the teachers who teach good things to people are also the helpers of Jibreel, because Jibreel is to teach knowledge of God to people. And if you also teach knowledge of God to people, you are a helper of Jibreel, and probably you are going to receive the help and support of Jibreel. A farmer is a helper of Mikael, isn't he? Because Mikael is to give sustenance. And a farmer who does work on the land and brings food for people is a helper of Mikael and has the support of Mikael, of course. Okay, and then of course there are creatures which are above these Mikael and Jibreel and Israfil. Warruh. Okay, in Surah Qadr we have تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالْرُوحُ فِيهَا بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهِمْ مِنْ كُلِّ أَمْرٍ. On the day of Qadr, on the night of Qadr, of course, the angels and the ruh would come down to the earth. Now, this ruh, what is this ruh? He says, وَالْرُوحُ الَّذِي هُوَ عَلَى مَلَائِكَةِ الْحُجُبِ. Now, of course, we have different ruh here, as I explained. The ruh who is managing the angels, which are your veils. Now, of course, even the veils which are between Jibreel and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are some sort of angels higher than Jibreel. And then there is a ruh which manages them. وَالْرُوحُ الَّذِي هُوَ مِنْ أَمْرِكَ. And then there is a ruh which is above that ruh, which is only from the God's command and affair, no one would know what it is. وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الرُّوحِ. They ask you about ruh. قُلْ الرُّوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي وَلَا وَمَا أُوتِيتُم مِّنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. You have not given knowledge about ruh, but a little. فَسَلَّ عَلَيْهِمْ. God greet all these angels and turn to them with mercy. وَعَلَى الْمَلَائِكَةِ الَّذِينَ مِنْ دُونِهِمْ. And then the angels who are below these angels. مِنْ سُكَّانِ سَمَوَاتِكَ. Those who are living in your heaven, different places in your heavens. وَأَهْلِ الْأَمَانَةِ عَلَى رِسَالَاتِكَ. And those who are bringing, of course, your messages to other creatures. And then it mentions the same thing which is mentioned here. أَلْخُشَّ وَالْأَبْصَارِ. Those whose eyes are always cast down. فَلَا يَرُمُونَ النَّذَرَ. Like they never dare to somehow lift an eye to look at your glory. النَّوَاكِسُ الْأَذْقَانِ. Their chins are always cast down. It means their heads are always downwards. الْمُسْتَحْتَرُونَ بِذِكْرِ آلَائِكَ. Those whose pleasure are just to remember your favors. It's very beautiful. Whose pleasures are only to remember your favors. وَالْمُتَوَاضِعُونَ دُونَ عَظَمَتِكَ وَجَلَالِكَ بْرِيَائِكَ. And those who are so humble and humiliated when they think about your glory and your greatness. وَالَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ. And those angels who say, إِذَا نَذَرُوا إِلَى جَهَنَّمَ تَذْكُرُ عَلَى أَهْلِ مَعْصِيَتِكَ سُبْحَانَكَ مَا عَبَدْنَاكَ حَقَّ عِبَادَتِكَ. And those angels who, when they look at the Jahannam starting to boil and to catch fire over the disobedient ones, they tremble and they say, glorified you are, we did not worship the way you deserve to be worshipped. Do not send us there. We deserve to go there, but do not send us there. We did not worship you the way you deserve to be worshipped. So these are of great knowledge, isn't it? And they know that they do not deserve these favors, these angels. فَسَلَّ عَلَيْهِمْ. So greet all of them. وَعَلَى الرُّحَانِيِّينَ مِنْ مَلَائِكَةِ. Now there are some angels which are from the type of ruh, between, as I said, that word is very bewildering, between ruh and angel. And he says, from those angels, and those angels who are from that side. وَأَهْلِ الزُّلْفَةِ in that, and those who are very close to you. Now you might say, how could an angel be away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I mean, all angels should be close to God. No, they have ranks. Okay. When we say closeness, it means in terms of their knowledge and their power. So there are some who are very close because of their knowledge, and some who are, of course, farther away. And then, of course, this is very long. I really advise you to read this third supplication of Saifa Sajjadi. It's very beautiful. I'm just choosing a few sentences. وَالَّذِينَ وَخُزَّانِ الْمَكَرِ. And those angels who are the treasurers of the rain. The rain comes through them. Because anything which happens materially in this world, always you should know there are some angels working behind the scene. And these are working by the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَذَوَاجِرَ الصَّحَابِ. And those angels who drive the clouds from here to there. وَالَّذِي بِصَوْتِ زَجْرِهِ يُسْمَعُ زَجَلُ الرُّؤُودِ. And the one angel which when he cries out, the world starts to hear the thunderstorms, the sound of the thunderstorms. وَمُشَيِّئَ الثَّلْجِ وَالْبَرَدِ. And those angels, tiny angels, of course, like just as I said, a butterfly, tiny angels which come down with every drop of rain and snow. This is now the beautiful thing. You see, anything happening in this world has a root in the other world. We shouldn't think that this world is without any root, without any origin, this world of matter. So, even when a drop of rain comes down, there is a root for it in the other world, in the world of angels. And that's why we heard that nothing is created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than angels. Because this is the root of this world. This is the root of us being here. So even those tiny angels which come and see off, this is the word he uses, those who see off every drop of rain and snow, وَمُشَيِّئَ الثَّلْجِ وَالْبَرَدِ and hails, those who see off the snow and the hail, وَالْحَابِثِينَ مَعَ قَطْرِ الْمَطَرِ إِذَا نَزَلَ, and those angels who come down with drops of the rain, والقوام على خزائن الرياء, and those angels which are guarding the treasures of the winds, والموكلين بالجبال فلا تزول, and then of course ورسلك من الملائكة إلى أهل الأرض والسفرة الكرام البررة, and those angels who are very dignified and they write our actions, والحفاظة الكرام الكاتبين, those who write the angels, and sorry, Karam al-Barara are those who write the revelation and bring it down to the prophets. And Hafazat al-Karam al-Katibin. Wa Manak al-Maut wa A'waneh. And of course, we greet the angel of death. Well, probably he's the last angel we need to greet. And of course, those angels who helped him. But of course, it's good. They take us from this world to a higher world, to a superior world. We have to thank them as well. وملك الموت وأعوانه ومنكر ونكير, and those two angels who come and categorize people after death. When they come and they somehow extort from the bottom of your soul the nature of your life in this world. This is the meaning of when they come and question. It's not a type of interview with you. No. They come and extract the type of nature that you created for yourself in this world. And this is the meaning of the common question. Who was your Lord? Of course, they don't need to ask this because then you tell lies to them. No. They just bring it out from the bottom of your soul. And they make it clear. And then you can be categorized. However, this Munkar and Nakir, there are different angels who do this. Some of them go to good people, some of them go to bad people. Before them, there is an angel which would specify what type of angels should go to this grave and should extract and extort from this person the nature of the soul and the bottom of the heart. And that is another categorizing angel. Initially, it shortlists people that in this list you should go in that list, and the angels would go accordingly. Well, ugly angels and beautiful angels, of course, they go accordingly. This is called Ruman, Waruman, Fattan al-Qubur, and the angel Ruman which examines the graves to see what type of angels should go to these souls and extract and bring out the the depth of their nature. والطائفين بالبيت المأمور and those who are going round بيت المأمور ومالك, of course the chief of Jahannam. Now of course the chief of Jahannam is not a rival angel that you would like to greet, but well, he's doing his duty. والخزنة and those angels who are working in Jahannam, of course. ورضوان, the chief of course Jannah, whom you would like to greet. وسدنة and then the angels who work in paradise for the sake of people. And then it continues. It's very interesting. I mean, the type of knowledge about the angels which is invested in this supplication is amazing. And it would tell us a lot of things about the type of relationship which is between the world of angels and this world. The background, the behind the scene of this world. This is the scene that we are seeing. There is a behind the scene. There are those who are working behind the scene. Usually for every theater, okay, there are just 3-4 people or more or less which are acting on the scene. However, there are many more who are working behind the scene to make it possible. And this is a scene that we are now in, playing in. Then there are much more creatures working behind the scene to make all this possible, all this life possible, to go very, of course, regularly in order. So this is the explanation I wanted to somehow put forward here about the angels mentioned in Nahjul Balagha and then of course in Sahifa Sajjadiyya. They say the same thing, but of course what is in Sahifa is a bit more detailed than what is in Nahjul Balagha. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alihi al-tahirin.
If I could just ask you, you mentioned, after the mention of the angels, you mentioned something about room, and you said there were veils between the angels and Allah, and then there was another set of veils on top of that. So how many levels are there? Or
only God knows. Infinite. Just infinite.
So the Quranic verse that talks about, which you mentioned, when they ask about the root, you have little but knowledge. It's not the root that we have in our hearts. It's that root that he's talking about.
Yeah, that's root which he's talking about. Yeah. And of course we have a portion of that. And that's why we can go up to that level and reach that level of that root. It attracts us towards itself. We only need to find a type of light which would make it possible for our ruh to rejoin or reunite to that ruh. Of course, with our personality being saved, our independent identity being saved, we can reunite with that ruh. And that reunion means that we will become the closest of all creatures to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why this ruh is working in us as well.
So is this reunification that you talk about for this world, or is it at
the end of the world? No, not in this world.
Thank you.
Just trying to use the mic to kind of test the system here.
Thank you for such a fascinating talk. I just wanted to ask a slightly related question, but not directly to the talk, about people, non-religious people, kafirs, who set themselves up as mediums and psychics, and claim that, you know, we have contact with the world of the dead, and if you want to come to us, we can speak to you and tell you what your relatives say. To me, this strikes me as fraud to set up to make money. Would you say that there's any possibility that they have actual contact with the supernatural world, or would you say it's all a little, show and a game?
You see, this business of having contact with the other world is very dodgy. There is a reality to it, but the number of people who are just pretending that they have a contact are much more than those who in reality have a contact. And then those people which have a contact with the other world, who have a contact with the other world. The number of people who have contact with the evil side of that supernatural are more than the those who have a contact with the good and benign creatures of the supernatural world. So we have to be very careful about this, and usually we shouldn't pay attention to things coming from those directions. The best contact which was made was the contact of the Prophet, peace be on him, which was made directly with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through Jibreel. And the best message which has come is, of course, the Quran, which you cannot, of course, explore the depth of it until the end of our life. If we explore, examine, study, we cannot find the depth of it. Now, yes, of course, if you just one level above this world, if you are able to move and or make contact with the world, with the middle world, alamul barzakh, then the knowledge which exists there is different from the knowledge that we have in this world. In that world, time finds a very different type of quality, in a sense that people there, the dead people there, would know things which naturally is going to happen in far future. Okay, and that's the quality of their knowledge. Okay, and if you can make contact with them, then you can find out about those things. But the whole issue is, what's the point of knowing it? I mean, for example, people want to know what is going to happen for them in future. What's the point of it? I mean, if it's good, you get happy, but it's going to come to you. If it's bad, you get sad. Anyhow, it's going to come to you. I mean, why these things are concealed for us? There is a reason. Many of us are sitting here. Some of us probably, God forbid, going to have a, for example, calamity next week. And why they should know it? What's the use of it? It just makes people worry. It just makes them agitated. And now, if you go to those people who claim that they have contact, the degree of the contact also, the degrees are different. Some people have just a vague type of idea of what's going to happen, and they try to make it as real as possible. And they say to you different explanations that are very much mixed with doubt and uncertainty, and makes everything so clumsy for you. So my advice is, never go to these people. It's just of no use whatsoever. Yeah.
Thank you. Alaykum
as-salam.
We have angels guarding us all the time. So, and our way forward to Allah is with inspiration from them, from what I understand.
So those are different angels then, who inspire us. These are only gods, they're bodyguards. They're strong angels, they're bodyguards. Then there are other angels who whisper, of course, good things to the heart. Yes.
So what form does Shaytan come in? I mean, he's not an angel, but how does he fight? I mean, we try to drive ourselves to the light of Allah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's a natural way to go, if you allow yourself to go.
Yeah.
That's the way the magnet takes you, is towards that.
Well, the shaitan is the deterrent there. It's the deterrent force. They try to somehow discourage you from listening
but
to those
form,
angels.
What form?
They have a form which can identify with our soul. They are very fluid type of, they have fluid type of creation. Fluid in the sense that, I mean, just suppose that you have a gas here, you have another gas here, you mix them, you don't know that they are mixed now, okay? But it's a different type of gas now altogether that you are having, but you cannot realize it. It's just like our soul and the nature of the being of Shaitan. They can come and somehow mix with our soul, and they can see the heart, the things which are going in it, and they can start to whisper. And the only thing which they do is whispering, of course, to somehow discourage us from going to that towards that light. Now, for this not to happen, Allah has given us some sort of medicine. And that medicine are these worships that he has actually told us to do. I mean, initially praying would seem pointless for us. why should we pray? Allah is needless of praying, for example. What's the point of it? What's the point of fasting, for example? There's no need for that. And it doesn't help me at all. It doesn't make my soul to gain more knowledge. At the beginning, it's like that. It's just like, for example, when a doctor is giving you some medicine, which is going to work after 1 year, for example. At the beginning, I mean, after a few tests, you will see that there's no influence at all. However, when you continue with it, they have some effect. It's just like our worship. At the beginning, especially when we are quite young, we don't understand what we are saying, we don't understand what we are doing. But this gradually would take on and would deepen in our hearts. And gradually we realize that yes, this is something that we have to do to fend off those whisperings of the shaitan. So there is a medicine for that given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that medicine is amazing. At the beginning it's a medicine. Later on it becomes like a food. And later on it becomes like the life itself. The nature of worship is so amazing. It, at different stages of life, it works in different forms. You need medicine when you are ill, when you are sick. And that's when actually you have no light around you. So it works as a medicine for you. It's a hindrance that would hinder you to go towards those evil things. Then gradually, when you are purified, some mystics say, after we are not ill anymore, this is for ill people, the prayers, okay? After we are not ill anymore, why should we use medicine? I mean, we don't need it anymore. وَعْبُدُ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَعْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ. After you have yaqeen, why do you want to worship the Lord? Now, they don't realize that now the nature will change. It's not medicine anymore, it's food now. You need it. Your body needs it to get stronger. And after that, it will become like air, it will become like something which would change nature into life, so to speak.
I just wanted to ask from a historical perspective about the first revelations of the Holy Prophet, because I've heard two main accounts. One account is that the Holy Prophet was very calm, and in fact Imam Ali was with him. And the other I've heard is that he was not very calm at all.
When was this?
For the first revelation.
The first revelation, yeah.
And the other account is that he was not very calm and he collapsed. And this would be to do with the type of angelic experience that he had. Either did Jibreel come to him as a man that he would be very calm? Or did the Holy Prophet go up to the angelic kingdom and then he would be very...
Now, apparently the first revelation was when Prophet saw Jibreel in his original form. The first instance of revelation. And of course this would have had a physical effect on the Prophet, but the very fact of having contact with the world of angels brings with itself tranquility and calmness. When we say Prophet fainted, for example, or the body couldn't somehow endure the forcefulness of that contact, it doesn't mean that it brought any agitation in the soul. The soul was completely tranquil and calm. It was the body which couldn't cope. Now, in the instance of the first revelation as well, when Jibreel, of course, when Prophet was encountered with Jibreel, that very encounter would bring with it calmness and tranquility. And it's just like, you see, the case with encounter of Maryam with Jibreel, which of course she had not seen before in form of a human being, and therefore she was terrified a little bit, thinking that a man had entered, had intruded into her privacy. Now, the very fact that she accepted the words of Jibreel and listened would show that a type of tranquility came to her heart, that she realized this is from God. And this is always the case. What comes from God comes with sakina, with tranquility, with calmness, comfort. And what comes from shaitan comes with agitation, with discomfort. So although the Prophet, of course, it was difficult for the body, but not for the soul at all.
Was Imam Ali with him?
This is what is mentioned in Nahjul Balagha, because it is probable, because quite probable, because when Prophet was in Hara, in the cave, Amirul Mumini, who was a child of course, about 10 years old, he used to take food for him. And when he took food for him, he usually stayed for him for a while, until he wanted to go back again and bring some more food. And what he says in Nahjul Balagha is that when revelation came down, I was there. And I heard a type of very sad cry and shriek coming from, I heard it. And I asked the Prophet, what is this creature crying or shrieking? And he said, this is the voice of the shaitan. He has disappointed that he would be worshipped exclusively, because there will be people who will worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the Prophet told him, you hear whatever I hear. And this is a very, very high position for Ali as a child, that he heard the things that Prophet heard. So there is one account of Ali ibn Abi Talib, of course, which says, yes, I was there. There is one account of Ibn Hisham, which says Prophet was alone, and he doubted the encounter with Jibreel. He thought that it was a jinn striking him. He thought that it was an evil or a devil coming to him. I don't know. I mean, what type of prophet that would be? It's very difficult to imagine that a prophet encountering Jibreel thinking that this is devil coming to him. And this is an amazing type of a story mentioned in Ibn Hisham. Yeah.
Sorry, just to clarify that point, you know, it's also mentioned that the Prophet then went to Khadija's uncle to ask, and then in some of these it's mentioned that he then confirmed for the Prophet this was revelation. It doesn't make sense.
It makes it more funny, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, he goes to a Christian person and asks, what is it? And he says, don't worry, my son, you are a prophet. And he says, oh, thank you very much for reminding me that I'm a prophet. And therefore, the whole faith that we have is based on that confirmation of that Christian person who did not convert to Islam later on as well. So, I mean, it's a funny story, but it's very famous. It's in Ibn Hisham, it's in other books, but it doesn't make sense. What the account given in Nahjul Balagha makes more sense than what is there. Okay.
You said that the angels will come as well. Who will take the life of Israfil? Who will resurrect him?
Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's the one who does it. Yeah. Okay.
Sheikh, I just want to ask one question about are these descriptions that Imams are giving us in Nahjul Balagha and Sayyidah Sajadiyah about the angels, about their duties and the way they have been described, this knowledge, has it come direct from the Prophet? And if so, is this only available in our books, or is it also available in the books of Ahlul Sunnah?
It is available in books of Ahlul Sunnah, when, of course, Prophet has spoken about the angels and as well. But of course, the way Amirul Mu'mineen is talking about it, and the way Imam Zain al-Abidin is talking, it shows that they had direct knowledge, which was of course inherited from the Prophet to them. Because according to our opinion, the opinion of Shia, the Imams are inherited the knowledge, they inherit the knowledge of the Prophet. And this is what, if you go to Kafi, there are lots of ahadith that usually the knowledge is inherited. If there is no knowledge coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through angels, then when a prophet dies, the knowledge is inherited by other people. And this is what happens.
Any last question, sisters?